Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
My name is MJ, and I've had the honor and privilege of serving as your youth pastor for the last year and a half. And it's been an incredible journey. And I just want to say I am so thankful for Tyson Coughlin. His mentorship in my life has been tremendous. I have grown more in this past year and a half of my life than I ever have before. And if you're thankful for our pastor, I mean, this guy works harder than anyone I've ever met in my life before. He does a job of about 5 full-time staff. All by himself. And if you're thankful for him, I just ask that you let him know in the comments right now. Just let him know that you're thankful for him, because I know I am. Speaking of mentors, I'm joined today by our very own youth mentors, two of our youth mentors from our youth ministry, 2020 Youth. And in our ministry, we call our youth leaders youth mentors. And ladies, our church, our ministry wouldn't be where it is today if it wasn't for you guys and your faithfulness. See, ministry has been hard. It's been different during this crisis, but you guys have been faithful and you haven't stopped. You've continued to do your ministry even in the midst of all that's going on and all the uncertainty. And I'm just so grateful for you. By the way, their names are Ashley and Stephanie. Show them some love in the comments. And this message today comes after a lot of prayer. I mean, Tyson and I have been praying about this, praying over this message for quite some time. And I feel God is calling me to warn the church. I feel God is calling me to say something to you that's very specific. See, I believe that as a church, we've been chasing the high of the next blessing for too long instead of stewarding the blessing that God has in front of us today. The high of the next, what God is going to do after the coronavirus, what God is going to do after this pandemic, it's going to be great after. But see, what we fail to realize is that God is working today, and it's especially true in this season. It was completely unplanned, right? No one could have predicted this. It was a complete curveball, right? We woke up, well, we fell asleep to one world, and we woke up to an entirely different world. I mean, our worlds were turned upside down. But see, I'm called today to remind you, church, that there is purpose. Even in the chaos, in the midst of uncertainty, God is still working. And it reminds me of the journey of Paul the prisoner. And in Acts 27, by the way, I want you to open up your Bible to Acts 27:30. And just put a bookmark there, because we're going to be coming back to this. And we're going to be referencing a lot of scripture today. And I'm not going to apologize for that, because I'm not interested in entertaining you. And I'm not interested in giving you my opinions. But I want to tell you about what the Word of God says about your situation and your circumstance in this season of your life. So Acts 27, verse 30, leave a bookmark. And during this time in Acts 27, Paul finds himself as a prisoner on a prison transport to Italy. Or so he thought he was going to Italy. But partway through his journey, God told him that he was going to shipwreck them on an island that he had never heard of before. And the story picks up in Acts 27:30, read along with me. So there's a storm. It's about to shipwreck them. It's about to destroy their ship. And here's what happens. It says, then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul said to the commanding officer and soldiers, you will all die unless the sailors stay aboard. So the soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it drift away. I mean, these prisoners and these soldiers, they were faithful. They knew who Paul was about. They knew who he represented. And they knew that this call, that this word came from the mouth of God. They knew they were supposed to be on this island. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have cut off the lifeboats. I would have been like, you know what? I'm going to roll these back up in case things get really bad and in case we need to use them again. But they were faithful. They knew that Paul brought a message from the Lord. So they cut off their lifeboats. All their backup plan was gone. And they were going to be on this island for a period of 3 months. See, God wanted them on Malta without a backup plan. He had purpose for bringing them on the island of Malta. And it's important to note that it wasn't some kind of punishment. They didn't just like disobey Jesus or disobey God or disobey Paul and he's punishing them now. No, it wasn't anything like that. God wanted them on this island of Malta for a specific purpose. And we're going to uncover that today. So if you blink, see this chapter of Paul on Malta, chapter 28, the following chapter, is only 10 verses. And if you blink and you're reading Acts, you can miss it. It's seemingly insignificant. It's only 10 verses. It's a very, very short chapter in the Bible. But I believe that God put it in the Bible and he had it in here for a specific purpose. And that purpose was to reference in times like today, in seasons like we find ourselves in today. And in fact, that's the title of my message today. Don't miss your Malta. Nudge your neighbor and say, don't miss your Malta. And if you're taking notes today, I want you to write it at the top of your page. Don't miss Malta. And there's a hint. If you want to follow along with this message, if you want to get something out of it, you're going to have to take notes. So find a piece of paper, use your phone, whatever you need to do. Write, don't miss Malta. And Paul and Malta is seemingly insignificant, but it has a purpose. And if I'm being honest, church, I feel like we miss the season that God has for us. We miss the blessing that is right in front of us. We miss Malta because we want to be God. We want to be our own God. Let me break this down for you, right? God is eternal. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We are just the people of recent history and today. We're here for a vapor of time and we're gone. But when we worry, when we cast our cares on tomorrow instead of at the feet of Jesus, we're saying, God, I want to be the eternal one. You know what? I trust you, but I don't trust you enough in this season. I want to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow because I want to be God. I want to be the eternal one. I'm going to read in Matthew 6:25. Please turn to Matthew 6:25. This is what the Bible says. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They do not plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable? Aren't you more valuable to him than they are? I love this last line. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? That's a rhetorical question, in case you were wondering. The answer is no. Your worrying will not even add a second to your life. It's not going to give you anything. Anxiety only breeds more anxiety. Fear only breeds more fear. It's not going to do anything for you. But God is eternal. God does know what tomorrow brings. So we should trust God for tomorrow because, like I said, he's the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And God is good when, church? All the time. Say that in your home church right now. Say that, proclaim that from your couch. God is good all the time. Come on, I want to hear you from our new location. God is good all the time. The good times and the bad times. The employed times and the unemployed times. Whether you got your stimulus check or not, God is still good. God is good all the time. Nudge your neighbor, let him know God is good all the time. And God works all things for the good of those who love him. Do not live in tomorrow because you're not God. You're not eternal. Nudge your neighbor, let him know you ain't God. And if you don't got a neighbor, just say it to yourself, you're gonna be okay. It's fine. Don't live in tomorrow. Don't miss Malta. Live in this season. God is still working right now. God is doing something in you right now. He has this for a purpose. There is purpose on Malta. Don't live in tomorrow. Live in today. And I believe that one of those reasons is that God is using this as a training ground for his people. And I want you to write this down. Malta is a training ground. Right on your paper, right under that point. Malta is a training ground. See, many people believe that there's going to be a great revival after this. That prodigal sons and daughters are going to be coming back to God in a real and powerful way. That churches are going to be packed after this pandemic is over. And I believe that. I believe that God will be glorified after this. And the leadership of this church believes that as well. But let me tell you something, Christian. If there was going to be a revival of people coming back to God, then surely Satan will have something to say about it. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a target. See, Satan is not going to go after the non-believers that are already lost. No, that would be pointless. Satan is going to go after the people that are valuable to the revival. Satan is going to come after you. He's going to come after me. He's going to come after all of us. People that are taking part of the revival, and I believe that he is going to try to undermine you. And the way that I believe he's going to do that is through temptation. See, if you feel that you are more tempted right now, maybe there's an old sin of choice that's kind of resurfacing. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's something else. Maybe an ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend is texting you back right now. And if they're texting you right now and they're trying to come back in your life, that is of Satan. You need to rebuke that in the name of Jesus right now. But I believe that God, that the devil is trying to tempt us right now into not taking part in the revival that is going to come. And when that happens, how will you protect yourself? How will you protect yourself from the attack of temptation? Well, what better way to answer that question, church, than WWJD? WWJD, what would Jesus do? Let's take it back to the old school and let's read in Matthew 4:1. Matthew 4:1. Let us know when you're there in the comments. Let me know when you're with me. Matthew 4:1, the temptation of Jesus. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Word of God says. And I told y'all, we're going to be in the Bible a lot. So get ready. You're going to get your workout in. This is what the Bible says, Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led by a spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. In other words, he hadn't eaten in a very long time, and he is very weak. In fact, this is the weakest you'll ever see him besides when he's on the cross. It says this, during that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, and he clapped back real quick. We need to clap back at the devil today with our Bibles. This is what he said. He says, but Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, some translations read, it is written. No, it is written. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Get out of here, Satan. I know my Bible. I know that temptation is not for me. I know that's not going to help bring forth revival. Get away from me, Satan. And then he says this, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. But Jesus clapped back. He says, Jesus responded, it is written, for the scriptures say you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to a peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms around the world. He said, you could have all of this, everything of the world will be yours if you will just bow down and worship me. But what does Jesus say? Get out of here, Satan. For what? For it is written. For the scriptures say, for it is written, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil went away and the angels came down and took care of Jesus. Come on, somebody. When you get tempted, when the devil tries to lure you away from the revival, when he tries to tempt you in this season, pick up your Bible. You have to be in your word. You have to sharpen your sword, right? Jesus used that as a weapon to fend off the devil. Same. We must do the same thing with our Bible. Be in your Bible. Otherwise, you might get tempted. Sharpen your sword. Train yourself. Let's look at Hebrews. What does Hebrews say about the Word of God? Hebrews 5:12 says this. Hebrews 5:12. It says, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. Wait a minute. Cutting between soul and spirit. I don't think he's talking about an enemy here. Cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. See, the Word of God not only protects you from temptation, it exposes where your heart's at. You gotta check your heart. If you want to be part of the revival, you got to make sure your heart's in the right place. Do you really love people when times get tough? Sharpen your sword. Check your heart. Sharpen your sword. Train. Don't miss Malta. It's a training ground for us to get sharp. And I believe that as a church, Vision Family, we have to do this together because we're all going to be taking part in that revival. And what does that look like practically? Well, here's what I think. Here's what I think it looks like. I think it looks like each and every member of this church, if you don't already do this, taking 20 minutes of their day and reading the Word of God. If you don't already do this, I want you to go to your calendar right now, and I want you to find an open spot. And don't lie to me and tell me you ain't got no time, because you ain't got nothing but time now. Go into your calendar, find 20 minutes, whether you do it with your spouse, your boyfriend or girlfriend, your family, maybe some of your small group friends. It doesn't matter. Find 20 minutes to be in the Word of God and sharpen your sword. Nudge your neighbor, let them know, sharpen your sword. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a battle for lost souls. And you wouldn't go into a battle with a dull sword, right? Sharpen your sword. We got to be sharp, church. We got to be sharp. But let me give you a reminder here. Malta wasn't this beautiful, like, it is a beautiful place now. But for Paul, it wasn't this beautiful, just like beach that he got to hang out on for 3 months. No, Malta was painful. Turn back to Acts 28. Acts 28, verse 1. And let's read about it, because I feel like a lot of you right now are in a painful season. Maybe you don't have a job. Maybe you're not getting paid. Maybe you're underemployed. And it's painful for you right now. And you're asking yourself, God, why? Everything was going great until this happened. Why me? Why my job? Well, let's dive into that a little bit. And let's look at what Paul endured on Malta. Acts 28, Paul on the island of Malta, verse 1. Once we were safe on shore, talking about Paul and his ship, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people on the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. Sounds good right now. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake driven out by the heat bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand, and they said to each other, "Oh, this guy's a prisoner. A murderer, probably. No doubt, though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live." See, a lot of people are watching you right now and how you're dealing with your pain in this season, and they're expecting you to give up on your faith. They're expecting you to roll over and die. Some people might call them haters, but let's keep reading on. So, but Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. See, they're expecting him to die right now. They're expecting him to roll over and give up. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided that he was a god. They changed their minds and decided that he was a god. Or in other words today, church, they changed their minds and they saw God in him. Come on, somebody. They saw God in him because of his steadfastness. Because you know what Paul said in that moment? He said, that snake might have bitten me, and maybe it has venom. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it'll kill me. Maybe it won't. But as long as I'm breathing today, as long as I still have breath in my lungs, as long as I'm still on earth, God still has purpose in my life. Come on, somebody. Do you believe God still has purpose in this season? Do you believe that God still has purpose in your life? Let us know in the comments. God is good. He still has purpose. If you're still here with us, if you're still breathing, check your heart. Make sure it's still bumping. If it's still pumping, God has a purpose in your life. He's not done with you yet, church. Let me put it to you this way. I want you to write this down. Pain times, so the X, for those of you who don't know, pain times proclamation equals invitation for insert name. Write those words, insert name. I'm gonna say that again. Pain times proclamation equals invitation for insert name. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We'll break it down. We're gonna break this down right now. I know that school has been out for a little while, so I'm gonna help you with this math. The proclamation, listen to this, you make of who God is in this season will be an invitation for somebody to know him. So maybe it sounds like this. God, I know I'm furloughed from my job right now, but you can't furlough my faith. I know that you took away my pay, but you can't take away the love that God has for me. I know I might not have anything right now. I don't know where my food is going to come from, and there's uncertainty, but I know that God is good, not just yesterday, not just today, but tomorrow as well. And that proclamation that you make might have someone that is watching you right now say, you know what? If you're going to be that faithful in this difficult of a season, then surely there must be something about your God, and I want to check him out too. The proclamation you make about who God is in this season will be an invitation for someone else. Maybe it looks like this. You know what? Hey, I know that church is a little weird right now, and it doesn't feel like regular church, but I also know that a church is not a building somewhere. A church is the people, and I'm gonna open up a church in my house every single Sunday morning, and I'm gonna play the sermon on Sundays at 11:15 every single week, because I'm gonna open up a church in my house, because I believe that God still has a plan for me even in this season. And maybe your roommate or maybe your spouse that has been away from God for quite some time will say, you know what? I ain't got nothing better to do. You have some tremendous faith. I want what you have. I might sit with you for 30 minutes and watch this sermon. Maybe it's a brother, maybe it's a sister, roommate, spouse, anybody. Somebody's watching how you're dealing with this pain. And it could just be an invitation for them to know him. And you know what else, church? The bigger the proclamation, the bigger the invitation. How bold are you going to be in your faith in this season? See, many people are asking themselves, God, why? Why am I going through this pain right now? Why me? I was doing everything right until this happened. I don't deserve this. But maybe it's not about you, Christian. Maybe it's about them. Maybe God so loved your mother. Maybe God so loved your brother. Maybe God so loved your roommate. Maybe God so loved your spouse that he would put you in a period of temporary uncomfortability, of a period of pain, so that he would know them, so that he would have the opportunity of reaching them. And there was no other way than to halt everything and put you in a period of pain. There was no other way. Maybe it's not about you. Maybe God so loved your roommate, your spouse, your husband, your daughter, whoever, that he put you in this season. I tell you what, Christian, a temporary period of pain, for me at least, is worth somebody knowing God for eternity. Would you not agree? If you agree with that, lay up the comment section right now. Let us know. Temporary pain is worth someone knowing him for all eternity. Come on, somebody. See, some of you guys might be saying today, MJ, my pain is just a little different than that. See, I've been blessed. I have a job. I'm still getting paid right now. Like, I'm blessed, I'll admit it. But my pain right now is just, I just feel lonely. I feel like I don't have any community right now. I hear you. I do. But a wise man once told me, he said, MJ, community isn't something that's just handed to you on a silver platter. Like when you walk into a church building, they just go, here's a pamphlet about our church and here's some community for you. Thank you for coming. That's not how it works. The people that you want in your life, the mentors that you want in your life, the community that you really want, doesn't have time to be chasing you. I'm sorry if that's uncomfortable, but they don't. They're busy stewarding their community. But see, Christian, right now might be a little weird. Maybe you're one of those people that just doesn't know how you're going to find community. Let me give you some advice. If you need community, I want you to go to visionchurch.com after this service and join a connect group. Don't get it trapped in analysis paralysis and read through them and read the reviews on each one and text all these people. Just pick a connect group and join it. And it might feel a little bit uncomfortable at first. You might have to work at it. You might have to learn how to use Zoom. Oh no. It might be uncomfortable. That was funny. They know. You might feel a little uncomfortable praying with people that you don't know. And you might have to work for it. But how much sweeter is something that you've had to work for? How much better do you steward something that you've had to work for? Christian, I challenge you today. If you join a small group or a connect group, as we call it, it can change your life. You can find community in the Malta, but you're going to have to work for it. If you want community, it could be here. Even though it doesn't look like it, I think it could be. I think it'll make you a better friend, right? How much more will you relish the times where you get to spend in community face to face with someone else when you've only had Zoom for the past 3 months? Come on, somebody. If you need community, you can find it here. This might be the time for you to learn how to steward community. So let's read through the rest of Acts. There's only 3 verses left. I told you it's only 10 verses. And it picks up in Acts chapter 28, verse 7. Let's read through this. It says, "Near the shore where we landed was an estate belonging to Publius." Remember, this is right after he got bitten by the snake and they found out that, you know, it didn't kill him. "There was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, Publius's father was ill with fever and dysentery." Sounds very similar to this season. "Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. As a result, we were showered with honors, and when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip." So why Malta? Why these 10 verses in the Bible? Why the seemingly insignificant story? Because God so loved the people of Malta, no matter how insignificant we thought they were, he loved them so much that he would put the greatest Christian to ever walk the face of the earth, Paul, the great Paul, in an uncomfortable place for the opportunity for them to know him. That's why. We might have thought they were random, but God knew every single person on Malta by name, and he loved them. So why Malta? Because God loved them, period. So why you're Malta? Why are you in this season? See, I don't know. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what specific challenges you're facing today, and I don't know where your relationship is with God today. But I believe that God is putting the world at a halt. Maybe you're a person that has stepped away from the faith for quite some time. Maybe you grew up a Christian, but you stepped away from God. Maybe you've never known God. Maybe you even have rebuked God and said, "God, I don't want you in my life," in the past. Here's what I think. I think God is putting the world at a halt. He's stopping everything. He's leaving the 99 sheep to come after you. Why? Because he loves you. No matter how insignificant you think your story is, God knows you and he loves you and he wants to be in a relationship with you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever," meaning anybody, no matter what you've done in your past, "whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That's you, that's me, that's all of us. See, last weekend, a few thousand years ago, God did just that. Jesus did just that. He died for our sins. And he rose again 3 days later, proclaiming victory over sin and death. Why? Because he loved you. And if that's you today, and you want to accept the Lord into your heart for the first time, or you want to come back to him in a real and powerful way, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. And listen, Vision Fam, if you already know God, if you already have a relationship with him, I want you to just pray right now in your little circle, in your living room, whoever you're with, wherever you are, just pray for the people that are praying this for the very first time. But if that's you today, I want you to pray this. Dear Heavenly Father, I know today that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that you died for my sin, a death that was for me. You took my place and rose again 3 days later, proclaiming victory over sin and death. God, today I ask that you save me, and in exchange, I will spend my life following you. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer today, we want to celebrate with you. Let us know who you are in the comments below. We do. Because guess what? You're now that person that needs community. Right? This faith isn't meant to be lived out alone. So after this is over, go to visionchurch.com and maybe join one of our connect groups. But here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. 3 things. Number 1, get into a local church. Number two, read your Bible every single day and pray every single day. Right? Because when we accept the gift of salvation, we're not just saying, God, thank you for the gift. I'm just going to go ahead and live my life how I have been. We're repenting and saying that we're going to change our old ways. We're going to die to our old self and live for you. Church, I speak from the bottom of my heart when I say I am ready to see you guys face to face. But church, until that day, remember that there is purpose even in this painful season. Vision fam, we'll see you next Sunday at 11:15. Have a great day and be blessed.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.